In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, with me today. Hope you're having a great week, despite all the fires, the Trump train. Yes, we have, what is it, Trump train! 18? What are we at? I'm sorry, I should have known this.
15.
15 days.
Days.
15 days. It was 18 on Friday, 15 today. Boy.
I know people are giving up. Do not give up. He can win, yeah. And I think he's going to.
Well said. We'll talk about some of that today, by the way.
All right.
All right, the impossible question of the day. We already had Friday's answered, so we'll roll with today's. Oh, I don't know. I have to go back.
Oh, I don't want to make you do
it
that.
Was, no, I can look real quick. Friday's was the fast food deal where, you know, 14% of people have eaten
in the
food in this location. It was in the drive up itself, in the drive through lane.
I still don't get that, John.
No, I get it. I've seen it.
You eat while you're in the drive-thru.
Sure,
you got people behind you.
Well, let's say you order your Charlie, and you're at the drive-up, and he loves apple pies at McDonald's. So let's say you get all your food. You're waiting for your apple pie because they're warming it up. But while you're waiting for the apple pie, you're eating your burger and your fries. Happens. You're
don't
hungry.
They? But you're in the drive-thru. Don't they give you all the food at once?
No, not always. I don't know. I don't go to the drive-thru much anymore. But Charlie's shaking his head. No, they don't. Yeah, it'll be, 2 minutes on your fries. Or it's going to be, you know, we're making your whatever. Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Never heard that.
No, we don't. We ran out of X or D. You know, here's the other thing. People don't realize this, but McDonald's especially, if you want fresh fries, they will make you fresh fries just for you. If you roll through the drive up and say that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of places will. Wendy's will. They'll make you fresh fries.
But, you know, they may not be ready. So if you're sitting here, and if there's not a lot of cars behind you, you're just, you know, there's no cars behind you. You're just going to sit there and wait while they do that. They're not going to send you off to the, you know, whatever that waiting place is where, you know, everything's not ready and you get the reserve parking place for the drive through.
You know what place is pretty quick?
What?
These days especially. They didn't used to be, but Sonic.
Oh, never been.
No,
I shouldn't say never been. It's been a long time.
I've gone there a couple times recently and, you know, I always
tip. Tater tots.
They have incredible tater tots and they were lightning fast. And I always hook up the person, you know, hook them up. And it was good. They were fast.
Right,
anyway,
so,
go
so
ahead.
So today's question.
Yes, today's.
Which is, let me hang on. Now I got to get to today. So today's question, 12% of us have stolen this from a neighbor without them, the neighbor, ever knowing about it. What is it? 12% of us have stolen this from a neighbor without them, the neighbor, ever knowing what it is.
Okay, I got a guess here.
Okay.
Wi-Fi.
Good guess.
Just taking a shot there.
Good guess. Yeah.
Especially for people who are in duplexes, you know, apartments
sure,
and so forth.
Tapping in the next door.
Right.
If it's not password protected very well, you're just... What? There's a name for that, isn't it, Charlie? There's a name for people that steal Wi-Fi. I can't remember what their name is, but there's actually a name for them.
Really?
Yeah. There's like, you know, some nickname for people that steal Wi-Fi.
Well, I mean, back in the day, it would be newspaper, right? You steal it, you look over the sports page and wrap it and put it back out there.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Grabbing people's newspapers. That was big. That was big. But nowadays, nobody has them. So, I'm going to go with Wi-Fi. What do you think?
I think you've got a pretty good answer, actually. Yeah, I think I think you do.
I mean, people, actually, what they call it is bumming. Bumming Wi-Fi.
Bumming the Wi-Fi from
the neighbors.
Neighbor. Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's Andy's answer. By the way, if you can top that, answer that on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. We'll get that answer tomorrow. All right. Let's talk because of everything going on. And by the way, all of you that are affected, that are listening to us even, that are affected by the fires, our hearts and prayers go out to you. I know there's been some homes that have even been lost, and we're talking not just, you know, some of the big fires, but there's some smaller fires, even some that fired up over the weekend. Any fire is a large fire, so I'm not trying to minimize, but we've got the Cameron Fire, which has become now the largest fire in the history of Colorado. We've got several other fires burning throughout the state, one over in the Granby area, one up here in Jamestown area, just north of Boulder. We've got them all over, so, you know, just be safe. Be careful.
Be safe and be prayerful. And my goodness, this weekend, it was a wall.
It was, yeah. Well,
to the north, it was a wall.
That one that fired up in Jamestown on whatever it was, you know, earlier on Saturday, just
right.
started to roll, and man alive, did it get rolling.
Now, the other one, the big one is, what, about 58%, I think, contained now?
I haven't looked. That sounds about right, yeah. But it's 180,000 acres or something, I want to say now, 175,000.
And
I haven't looked.
Do they bring in firefighters from all over the like, 4 or 5 state region, I would think, on something like that?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that, but I do not know.
Okay. I'll bet they do.
I don't know.
Because they got to be exhausted, John. They're used to just, you know, dealing with the fires in their area, not going all over the place and being out there for weeks at a time.
Yeah, right now, there are, it looks like, 5 major fires burning in Colorado right now. So, again, our signal goes to a lot of those. So our hearts and prayers do go out to you and your families. And also, those of you that live in any of those areas, especially along the foothills, even some of you that live in neighborhoods that maybe border some of the plains areas where there's, you know, where you've got a lot of grassland even around you and so on, I would suggest that a lot of you that are in that particular situation be very vigilant in knowing where all of your stuff is, where all of your, you know, unique valuables or family pictures or things along those lines are. I would tell you, and the experts do, first of all, videotape, you know, use your camera phone, videotape everything in your home. It's the best way to protect against the insurance sites. You just walk around your home with a video camera and videotape everything that you have. That's real easy, including the inside of drawers. So if you've got knickknacks, things like that, jewelry, whatever, you know, just go ahead and videotape all of that stuff. And then on top of that, they tell you to take all the things that are really personal, like birth certificates and passports and things like that. If they're not in some sort of a fireproof container, you need to have those handy. So if you need to evacuate, you're able to put those things in the back of the car and head out.
Yeah, a lot of people at this point, if it's anywhere remotely close, they've already got a fair amount pre-packed.
I would hope. Let's hope.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying you've even got to be in one of the pre-evacuation areas to do that, because I'm also, you know, personally familiar with how some of those things work. You don't have to be in that area. Even if you're close to an area, I would just tell you right now, go back to my statement a moment ago, if you live in the mountains, in the foothills, anywhere where there's, you know, forest land, trees, things like that that are around you, or, you know, you live in areas where, you know, you may be on the edges of town or on a neighborhood, and you've got even a lot of prairie, grasslands, things like that that are right next to you, you'd be surprised how those things could ignite, go up, and all it takes is a few sparks hitting your house, and voila, you could be that person that, you know, is now leaving.
Well, you could go out and up in flames, I agree. But let me ask you this, John, and maybe I should be talking to the Mighty Hand guys about this. Maybe they could weigh in. But what about if you don't catch fire, your house, you know, you don't get fire, what about smoke damage?
Oh, it's the same. You'd have to have an insurance claim. And
I mean, just the smoke rolling through a lot of these houses now, I mean, if it gets much more intense.
Yeah, in fact, along those lines, you'd want to keep things buttoned up as much as you possibly can, not letting that smoke come in. Because, yes, the smoke damage can become very heavy, and that can be as devastating as, well, it is as devastating as a fire itself is if you're not careful. So, yes, that can be.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and by the way, familiar with some of this over the years, just don't want to get into a lot of details with some of you that know me even from drive radio and such. Yeah, I've been through some situations like that in my own past where very familiar with fire, how it works, the mitigation afterwards, what has to happen, the smoke damage, all those sorts of things, and Andy's right. So, yeah, there's a lot of things there. So what we're trying to say is be safe. Our hearts and prayers and thoughts are going out to you and your families, and they really are. We don't want to see any more. You know, we don't see any lives lost. We don't want to see structures damaged. But I can tell you this, structures can get rebuilt. A life that is lost in a fire cannot be. So, you know, we can replace things. We cannot replace people. And that includes animals, livestock, you know, family members, and so on. You know, the structures can get handled. And what I would tell you to do on that as well is make sure that before, you know, again, those of you that don't even live in those areas right now, make sure you're insured properly. Back to what we said a moment ago, get with your insurance agent, make sure those things are taken care of and that you're on track.
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
If you have any friends who may be up near being in the path, you might want to let them know, hey, we got an extra room if you need it.
Yeah, yeah, let them know that there's the ability where if they need to leave there, they've got a place to stay where it's not as big of a worry for them. They know right off the bat there's a place they can go, they can stay, and so on. And by the way, that includes a lot of you that have the ability to reading my Nextdoor app even before coming on air today. You know, those of you that have some property where you might be able to house some animals, do some things along those lines. Most likely people that are in that northern part of Boulder in that area are going to look for places close by. But, you know, depending upon where things are, that's one of those things that you could even help with depending upon what, you know, we could have another fire break out, you know, anywhere across the Front Range, anywhere in Colorado. So again, just one of those things to remember. You know, we live in a very dry, despite, we'll get into this in the as we go through the show, despite what all of the climate skeptics will tell you, this is not, you know, any worse year than any others we've had in the past. Yes, certain years are bad in Colorado versus others, but my son Richard and I were talking on Saturday about the fire that was up towards the Jamestown area, and he's like, "Dad, this is the worst I've ever seen." And I'm like, "It isn't for me. I've actually been and helped out and actually helped fight some fires up in that area, much like it's going on right now today. So, no, I've actually seen it do exactly the same thing before. This isn't anything new, and I've done that, you know, 25, 30 years ago. So the reality is, no, this isn't new."
I'd actually like to talk about some of the possible causes of this, but after break.
Okay, we can do that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got more for you. Jared Stepman's going to join us at 3:30, talk about, actually, he's written in the past about fire mitigation. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of what we're going through right now is because we, in a lot of cases, we collectively, government, and even individuals, do not mitigate things properly to minimize these things once they get going. We'll talk about some of that with Jarrett as well. Purify Chevrolet, though, is coming up next. And no matter what, if you need a new vehicle, new, used, doesn't make any difference what it is, Purify can help you with that. And they're the go-to place. And as we head into winter, which, by the way, we've got, you know, colder weather coming this next weekend, a chance for snow potentially Saturday and Sunday. Just a reminder that winter is not that far away. If you need a good, reliable four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive vehicle, they can get you taken care of as well. PurifyChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Here we go. Golden Eagle Financial. Al Smith would love to help you not only with your retirement planning, but, you know, the financial planning end of it, but how to get there and stay there once you're there. So some of you may be very close to retirement right now. How do you stay in retirement? What do you do when you're there? KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors and SEC-registered investment advisor.
Barber's Foods is there for you, and I will tell you, they do have the best meat, period, you've ever eaten. I cannot say that enough. Right now, whatever you order from Barber's, don't forget they've got some great deals on pet food as well. So they've got some of the best dog food that you'll ever buy, and that's not just coming from Greg Bloom, the owner. We've heard that personal testimonies on that. You get right now 2 free pounds of Wagyu ground beef with every order. Just put in beef at checkout. And again, folks, it is literally the best beef, chicken, pork, just meat in general that you'll ever order. Don't forget about the salmon coming in that you can pre-order now as well. But get that 2 free pounds of ground Wagyu right now. Use beef at checkout. That's barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barbersfoods.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
These emails suggest that Joe Biden knew all about Burisma and his son's involvement. It's the Biden family grift. Why do you think Joe Biden's a multimillionaire? He's worth $10, $12 million today? Oh, he's thrifty. Sure he is.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. And we'll talk more about this at the bottom of the hour with Jared Stettman, but I will just tell you really quickly that for those of you out there, especially some of you that are on the other side of the fence that don't think, you know, clear-cutting and removing, you know, dead timber and the things that it really takes to restore a forest is not the right way to do things. I just have personal knowledge and even show anybody pictures where when you clear cut beetle kill, Andy and I were talking about that during the break.
Yeah.
Let's just say you've got a beetle kill area. You go in there and you clear cut things. It takes on average, I would say probably 8 years or so. So when you go through and you clear cut that, give it 5 to 8 years and you will see growth in that area.
Oh, boom.
Like you've never seen before. It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's young. It's alive. Yeah. It has great root systems. And also, look at what you're taking out of there. My goodness.
Dead.
When I was telling you at break, when my wife and I will drive up to Breckenridge and back, we're looking through at all the beetle kill strewn throughout all the pine. I'm thinking, that is nothing but tinder. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's
you're
dry
right.
tinder.
Yeah. No, and for those of you that maybe are new to the state, when you drive up to the mountains and you see trees that are gray, that's not a species of tree.
No.
Those are dead trees that were not too many years ago totally brown that are now gray because literally they're just dead trees sitting there rotting away. The beetle kill, we call it that for a reason because the pine beetle killed those trees. We had a bad infestation of those. And by the way, that cycles as well. I can remember as a kid, we had a really bad problem, kind of went away depending upon the winters we have and so on. It changes some things and it kills the beetles and so on. But, you know, the reality is they go in, they get right underneath the bark of the tree, they bore through, they literally kill the tree, and it dies. It takes several years for all of the needles and everything to fall off of that tree. But, yeah, all that gray that you see on the hillsides throughout, to Andy's point, Breckenridge, Silverthorne, Winter Park, Grand Lake area, any of the areas in Colorado where you just see a complete hillside and it just looks gray, those aren't a species of tree. Those are dead.
Those are dead. Those are zombie trees.
Yeah, those are dead.
You know, the upside of all this, John, is the way that wood looks when you cut it down and use it for stuff.
Beautiful.
And as I was telling you at break, we in Wisconsin, we had to go through and we had beetle kill birch.
Okay.
And my dad would make lots of, he'd make lots of stuff out of it, right? Furniture and
gorgeous.
So forth. It would have 4, 5, 6 different colors in it.
That's gorgeous.
Just bursting.
It really is. And we've got the same thing in Colorado with our beetle kill here. But John and Cheyenne joining us now. John, welcome. What's up, sir?
Hey, John.
Well, you're right on the ball there because all summer long, whenever we went backpacking or hiking, we did one trail up in the Mount Zirkle Wilderness area. 300 trees, I would say, were down across the trail we that had scrambled over. and they were all beetle kill.
Yep.
And if they would just let, and it's the liberals. There's a great article, a guy that used to be a lumberjack in Wyoming was writing, that he said in the 90s they were clearing the yep. Medicine Bow forest, going
yep.
in and getting them out. And then all of a sudden, Clinton came in and they stopped them. And now there's no lumberjacks or lumbering companies in this part of the state of Wyoming or in northern Colorado that could even go in there and do it if you wanted somebody to go in there.
Nope. And it's really bad that we've not contracted out to get some of that timber out of there, John. We could have done that by now.
Well, the Mullen Fire, I don't care what anybody tells you, they have done structure protection, and they're just letting it burn because it's about 90% beetle kill, and they're just going to let it burn out. That's the firefighters will tell you if you catch them off to the side, they'll tell you there's no way they can stop it.
Right,
John. Are there a lot of homes in the way, cabins and so forth, or is it pretty blank up there?
A lot of cabins, but the cabins they're protecting. They've got roads. They built some fire breaks.
Okay,
they've used some. The old Walden Centennial Wyoming rail spur, they turned it into like a bike path, and they're using that as a fire break. So they've got it to where
gotcha.
They've got it contained. But until we need this, I hate to say this because we need a good blizzard.
Yeah, we do.
About 2 foot of snow on the mountains.
Although I read something the other day about that, which I found interesting, John, that I didn't – I have a hard time – believing this, but I guess it's possible. But depending upon how a storm comes in, what it does, its moisture content, and so on, believe it or not, that fire can smolder all winter long, depending upon that first layer of snow that goes down, then ignite next spring.
Oh, that's all we need.
Go figure.
I
would almost have to see that, but if you think about it, one of the things they tell you, if you ever get, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're lost, you're in the snow, if you build a snow cave, you can actually get under the snow, and the snow will actually create a blanket where you can stay warm. So if it'll do that for you as a body, I could see how it could happen with a fire underneath.
Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience that sleeping in a snow cave is no fun. That was my Uncle Sam had me do that training years and years ago when I was young. But it did keep us warm. It was above freezing, and it was below zero outside in Alaska when we went to winter survival training. So, yes, that will work. But going back to the fires, I mean, we ran into a couple of kids. They called them a wilderness trail crew, and they just go in and clear the trail in the wilderness areas. And they told us that one trail they did, they cleared, just clearing the trail, over 300 trees in a 10-mile span. All bark beetle dead kill. So until, like I said, the next one that I see going up is the Encampment River Wilderness, and that runs from the Colorado state line up to just by Encampment and Riverside, Wyoming. And it was so bad, we had to turn back on the trail. That thing, Sparks, being a wilderness area and no roads in or out of there, that whole thing's going to go.
Yep.
And that'll be one that'll burn all summer.
Yep, well said.
And I don't know which one. Did they get any causes on the new ones in
Colorado? No, I haven't seen anything on it. I just looked, too. My son just sent me an update on the on the Cal Wood fire, that one that just started up in the Jamestown area, and some pretty nice homes up in that area. I mean, we're talking million-dollar homes plus, and about 25 of them are no longer there.
Yeah, I saw that on I get the Denver Channel 2 station, and they were showing some of those homes that got destroyed this morning
on
the
news,
and it was a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
I mean, you know, the other thing, John, real quick, when I put my new roof on my house, I went with a metal roof mainly because of the wind, and they gave me a discount on my insurance
for fire
too, because they said that metal roof is going to take a lot longer.
Yep.
So anybody needs a roof, I don't know, you might want to look at that if you live in an area where you could burn.
Well said. Well said. Good stuff, John.
Good,
I appreciate it. No, thank you very much, sir.
I made my house out of straw. My rates are astronomical.
Yeah, they would be. Hay bales. Gotcha. Actually, there is way, they actually do some homes that way. They put different things on the outside, of course. But speaking of insurance, we talked about that earlier. Paul Leuenberger, my insurance agent. And yes, folks, now is just kind of sort of a reminder, whether you live in one of those areas or not, It's a good reminder to review the insurance you have. Is it adequate? Are you overinsured, underinsured? What have you got for contents and all of that? It's just a great reminder that those are the things that need to be checked periodically, and now's a great time to do so. If you want an update on either your personal or your personal insurance that you either don't have with Paul or you would like to switch to Paul, he'll help you either way. Even if you don't have insurance with him, he'll review your policy and tell you whether you're insured properly or not. Give him a call today, 303-662-0789.
Get your unique vehicle insured for what you know it's worth. Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance gives you the coverage you expect, which means you have the money to replace your vehicle when something goes wrong. Here's a real story from a customer of Paul. A brand new custom vehicle in transport was not strapped on correctly. It fell off the transport vehicle and onto the highway through no fault of the owner. Because he had insured his vehicle with Paul Leuenberger, he filed a claim and replaced the vehicle, no questions asked. In fact, American National Insurance went to bat for him against the transport company to make sure he got the coverage he expected. With any other insurance, that story might have ended very differently. Make sure your unique vehicle is insured correctly so you get the coverage you expect. Call the personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance at 303-662-0789.
Folks, some of you out there listening also may have some insurance claims, even when it comes to fire or things along those lines. If that's the case and you got an insurance claim on your car when it comes to glass damage, things like that, be sure to call Novus. They'll work with your insurance company. They'll get you up to speed, make sure things are handled, and do it in a very timely manner as well. Find them at rushtoreason.com/Novus, and that's N-O-V-U-S.
Novus means innovate. And as the original inventors of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass continues to stay on the cutting edge of glass repair and replacement. Any vehicle with lane departure technology needs to be recalibrated after a windshield replacement because of the cameras and sensors mounted to your windshield. All of those sensors need to be carefully realigned so your vehicle provides accurate positioning information. And each vehicle manufacturer is different. Most auto glass facilities, even the big names, do not have the right tools and equipment to calibrate your windshield. They can only replace the glass, not recalibrate the sensors. Because Novus Auto Glass constantly upgrades to keep pace with the changing industry, the majority of their locations now offer calibrations. Get your windshield replaced and the sensors recalibrated with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass at rushtoreason.com/Novus, N-O-V-U-S.
Folks, we've been saying it for a while, and we mean it. You're running out of time. In fact, it's going to be even difficult now if you wait much longer to get that new kitchen by Christmas. It takes time to make this happen. I was talking to Steve Horvath from Geno's. He's having his kitchen done by Enchanted, and it just takes time. There's, you know, contractors that you've got to wait for and get in line with. There's cabinet makers you've got to get in line and wait for. There's just lots of things that are going on. And you know what? With all of these fires and other things that we're talking about, you know what? Let's just face it. Every one of these things is putting these guys even higher up on the list of things that are needed, and where it's going to delay more things on down the road. So if you want to get that kitchen done by Christmas, you got to get in and get that handled now. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
When public schools closed and moved to online learning, Amanda DeVito-Parle realized that was not going to work for her family. Kim Munson here. Tuesday, Amanda shares how she and her colleagues pool their resources to hire a professional educator to teach their kindy through third grade kids. Plus, award-winning REMAX realtor Karen Levine will be in studio to co-host the show. Adams County Commissioner candidate Phil Covarrubias and Colorado HD 30 candidate Kerry Gutierrez share what they are hearing on the campaign trail. That's Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. And all right, we've got Jared Stepman that should be joining us here in just 1 minute. We'll talk to him about fire mitigation and what's going on in that world, because he's written some few things about that and has some thoughts along those lines as well. By the way, just a side note, I had this in our notes for Jared, and the state of California, make sure I say this correctly, the state of California has asked the feds, the Trump administration, for help with their wildfires. And to their credit, the Trump administration basically came back and said, not until you start getting your fire mitigation in better shape. No, we're not giving you the $250 million or whatever it is you want.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least give us a plan. Just put a plan in action. Say, this is what we're going to do to actually mitigate this stuff and not blame all of our problems on global warming, which is basically what they've been doing out there. So they blame all their problems on global warming, let their state go up in flames, and then they want the Trump administration to bail them out with everyone's tax dollars. That's not going to fly. It's not going to fly.
Nope, I agree. So Jarrett Stepman joining us now. Let's talk about that. Jarrett, welcome to Rush to Reason. You've seen what's going on in Colorado at this point.
Yeah, it's quite a tragedy. I mean, as somebody who's a native Californian, I've seen my state go up in flames. I've seen this happen throughout the West. I think that, you know, some of these fires that we've been seeing the last few years have done untold damage to both the environment and, of course, to the human beings who live in a lot of these places where these fires have burned through massive quantities of our forests and destroyed untold amounts of property. I think it's very much a tragedy, especially this time of year. We've seen so many of these huge fires hit so many states throughout the West.
Jared, we always talk about mitigation efforts. Now, you've lived in some of these fire throughways. Do you know anything about what they actually do to mitigate, to prepare an area to keep fire from just flowing right through?
Well, unfortunately, that's something that on a policy level, we've been doing a particularly bad job, especially the last 40, 50 years. I mean, I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing in California, Colorado, and plenty of other states throughout the West, especially in forests managed by the federal government, a lot of forests are in federal property, is a real lack of cutting down on the fuels that unfortunately allow these towering infernos to blaze out of control. I think that's the real problem that we're seeing. So if you have a hot, dry environment like many states are, especially this time of year, if you don't do more to control the fuels that actually have built up dramatically in the last few decades in particular, if you don't do anything about it, you're liable to get these towering infernos. These things are going to happen. And as people move into different parts of these states, they're going to be people that whose homes are right in the line of these massive fires. So I think forest management and prevention and cut down of the buildup of fuels in our forests, it needs to be a priority. I mean, we continually battle these blazes. Of course, many firefighters, my father was a retired firefighter, so I know kind of firsthand, you know, what they go through when they're battling these things. That can't be the first line of defense. It really has to be lean more to the prevention side.
I agree. And we were just talking before you came on about Donald Trump, the White House basically refusing California's request for, I think it was like $260 million to help with some of their wildfire mitigation, not mitigation, but the aftermath of what's happened in California. And the administration's basically coming back saying, no, you guys aren't mitigating things well enough. We're not going to write you that federal fund check. And by the way, I agree with that.
I agree with that too. And I think that there has to be an increased pressure, especially, look, we're seeing this year after year. And I know that there are a lot of people who just want to simply say, oh, this is climate change. But you look at places like, for instance, the state of Texas, which is a state that actually is covered by more forests per square mile than the state of California, which has seen far fewer, less acreage being burned up in recent years. And I think there's a good reason for that. part of it is that the federal government does not own nearly as much land in the state of Texas, only about 1% of the land in California. It's nearly half the land in California. And plus, I think you do have an ideology, especially in a place like California, of, I think, environmentalism. I mean, the National Environmental Policy Act, which is something that was passed in the 1970s, has made it very difficult for us to manage forests throughout this country, and especially in those states which you do have incredibly strict environmental laws, has made it impossible to actually do the forest management that at one time did a remarkable job in American forests of actually controlling these forests. So if you really do care at the end of the day about, you know, climate change or things like this, and you think that there's too much carbon dioxide going to the air, these towering infernos, they don't help. They make things a lot worse, and we can do a heck of a lot more to actually suppress these things.
Hey, Jarrett, what in these environmental regulations are really killing off the efforts to mitigate? I mean, are they basically saying you can't cut through this section of forest, you're going to hurt this beetle or that bird's migration habits? I mean, what are they saying is the problem?
That's exactly it. It sometimes takes years to even begin the process of actually clearing parts of the forest. I think one good test, especially for Americans, is Yosemite National Park. Look at old pictures, Ansel Adams pictures. You'll notice that a lot of those places that 50, 100 years ago were much more reduced in the actual vegetation there, today is completely built up, and it's especially built up with a lot of dead and dry wood. And that's the kind of stuff that really allows these fires to burn out of control. It's not usually the fresh vegetation, it's this buildup. And because we've had, you know, really since the 1970s, I think an increasing ideology of environmentalism, of course, you know, the legal battles that constantly happen because of these laws have made it almost impossible to do any kind of forest management. And I think we've really hit a crisis point where this is going to take a long time to actually deal with. Even if we make this a priority, this is not something that's going to change overnight. It's something that we're going to have to peel away one policy change at a time.
You know, the one thing that really blows my mind, Jarrett, is that they don't mind if a beaver alters the trajectory of a river. In fact, that's protected. You can't do anything about it, even though it's flooding these people's land over here. You can't do anything about the beaver. But if we do anything to dam a river or to mitigate a forest or do any of this kind of stuff, because man is doing it, it's therefore evil.
And that's completely crazy. I mean, human beings have been managing forests and managing the environment since the dawn of civilization. I mean, frankly, Native Americans were doing this before the United States was even here. And I think they did a particularly good job of it. This idea that our forest fires, look, fires is a part of nature. It's going to happen one way or another. But as human beings, as stewards of our environment, we need to be better stewards to make sure that environment is not burning out of control. And if you do care about the animals and the wildlife there, having these things burn out of control constantly doesn't do a good job of this. It kills a lot of animals, and it kills people at times, and of course it destroys a property on a widespread scale. This is bad for the environment. It's bad for human beings, and frankly, it needs to stop. And that requires, I think, a longer-term change in policies. It requires a pullback of a lot of these environmentalist laws that have made it very difficult to be those kind of responsible stewards of our environment that will really, really tamp down on a lot of these places that have gotten out of control.
Well said. And question I guess I have for you, Jarrett, and I'll ask Andy this as well. Do you feel like, and I'm doing my best to not be cynical with everything going on and trying my best to be as, you know, reasonable and even keeled through all of this, but there's times I just wonder, you know, does the left just revel in all of these fires that are going on so they can one more time jump on the climate change bandwagon and just tell everybody, I told you so? Do you feel like there's any of that going on, Jarrett?
I think there's a lot of that going on. I think they try to point to this and say, oh, look, it's really climate change that caused all these fires. Again, I point to, you know, California is a dry and arid state. It's been a dry and arid state as long as people have been there. Texas, I mean, you go through, these are dry and arid places. Even if there is a change in the climate and temperature, that doesn't pull out the factor of the fact that we have enormous amount of fuels in our forests. You know, this is a nice problem that we can take care of, that we can fix and we can change. Human beings have adapted to environments all over the globe, and we're doing a particularly bad job of it. To say that this is just this is global warming, this is climate change, and accept these environmentalist policies. The environmentalist policies are what got us into this position to begin with, and I think that's the real problem here. So to point to these fires and to try to make that ideological point, I mean, it's obvious what is going on. It's obvious a lot of major media outlets want to use that as the attack. And I think it's just, it's false. It's just incorrect.
Well, I would say this, John, that Project Veritas recently had a guy from the Democrats' executive council for the state say, I will cheat, I will steal, I will do whatever it takes. And he even called for violence. All right. Somebody who is going to talk like that, and he says, oh, and there's a lot of people like me out there mobilized. Do you honestly think none of them would light fires so that they could blame it on climate change? I'm not saying that that's what's happening here and there.
I'm sure,
hey, maybe they're all natural. I'm just saying I couldn't put anything past them. What do you think, Jared?
Yeah, and I think that especially those who are fervent environmentalists, and especially places where I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, they'll say anything. For them, I think that the environmentalism has become almost a religion to them, so that, you know, actual responsible behavior and responsible policies aren't even possible because they're so maniacally possessed with environmentalism. I mean, I think what we've seen that with the trend of the Sierra Club and all these other organizations that have really been taken over by the left have pursued an extremist anti-human policy. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, these aren't Teddy Roosevelt-style conservationists. These are people who are militant. They're radical, and they see this almost as a religion. Unfortunately, it's affected a lot of our agencies, the Forest Service, and many others who, you know, does have a lot of radicals and people who want to push these policies. And it's going to hurt a lot of people. I mean, that's the bottom line. This is going to hurt a lot of people in a lot of parts of this country.
Agree. And again, I want to close with this. I'm not trying to, you know, minimize anything that's happened, Jared, but I just have to wonder, you know, I just read a list off a minute ago, 25, you know, million-dollar-plus homes that we've lost up in this one area just north of Boulder, which is, you know, north of the Denver area in the one fire that just started on Saturday. And I know that area very well, and that's an area that's really full of, I'll just say it right now, I'm not saying every one of those homes lost was owned by a liberal, but I guarantee you a large percentage of them are. So in a way, they're hurting even the very people that they claim, and I think that's the key, that they claim to be protecting. They're not when it's all said and done. And I'm just going to close with that. I don't know how else to say it.
If they said it, which we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, bad on the leaders right now who don't pursue policies that allow us to do better management, because it's going to hurt Americans from all walks of life. I mean, we can see the kind of devastation that's happening. It's terrible to our country. Large parts of it are being burned up through fire season. And we can change that. It's going to take a long-term change in our policies, and it's going to change. It needs environmentalists to lose a lot of these battles, but that is the bottom line. And I think this all Americans should be able to agree on that.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Jarrett, as always, really appreciate it. Daily Signal, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. Let's do this. Ascent Health Center is up next. And no matter what health issue you've got going on, Dr. Julie can help you. But mostly right now, she'd love to help you with weight loss. It's easy. Just give her a call, 303-343-8800, or find her at AscentHealthCenter.com.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascent Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through the HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascent Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now. Schedule a free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit rushtoreason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve the goal that you've been dreaming about.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year.
hire John, and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Michael Bailey joining us now, which timing, I guess, Michael, couldn't be any better. Not that we, you know, ever really want to, you know, focus on this, but it's an area that we have to focus on because it's a part of life. Living means dying. Dying means making sure you've got everything ready to go. And as we look at all these fires and just, you know, the loss of property, it's just a reminder that, you know, we're going to lose our life someday as well, and that's just the way things work. Do we have all of that property and the things that we need leave behind done correctly? And if not, they need to call you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we want to make sure that they've got a good plan that reflects what they want. And, you know, I can help with that because we want to, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, certainly the fires are scary, but, you know, coming up on Halloween, and you know what's scarier, not bothering to plan so that we don't have to think about it, we don't have to talk about it, or then you leave that what's scarier for your kids and they have to figure it all out on their own, which is its own form of frighteningness.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. And again, I'm not trying to be, you know, morbid or anything along those lines, but Michael, anytime sure. we have events that are going on like we're seeing, especially when it's as close to town. You know, granted, and we're not taking away from any of the fires that have already happened in the state that have affected a lot of other people that could very well be listening to us. So we're not trying to minimize those. But I just think it's always a more of a probably top of mind awareness when you start looking at the foothills of a city and you see things, you know, literally burning up and getting as close to a major metropolitan area as we're now starting to see happen. Again, it's just a reminder that we need to have our stuff handled. I talked earlier coming into the show, Michael, about just making sure that you've got your stuff ready to evacuate and so on. Well, really what we're talking about with you is making sure that we're ready to evacuate our own lives when that time comes.
Right. And, you know, I mean, we talk about, I mean, you know, my wife asked me the other day, she says, well, you know, what would we evacuate? I'm like, well, we'd grab our, we have a couple of totes of like, you know, survival slash camping food. We're like, well, we'll grab those. We'll grab some water. We'll grab a thing, you know, suitcase full of clothes and be on our way. And the rest of it, if it burns up, I mean, we live in Thornton, so probably the fire's not going to jump by 25. But, you know, if that were the case, we'd be like, okay, if we've got our stuff, we go. Because it is just stuff. But it also is important stuff. I mean, my, you know, so you mean you don't want to lose your life, obviously, but, you know, at some point you will. And then when you do, you've got your stuff left behind. And you don't want people fighting over stuff because it is just stuff. And so, you know, you try to plan it out. I mean, I'll use an example from our life. My wife's grandmother died just a couple of weeks ago. And so they're trying to sell the house. And, you know, there's all sorts of questions about, well, who gets, you know,
right.
The value of the house and, you know, the her aunt who thinks has been living with grandma for the last couple of years. She's pretty sure that, you know, everything that's sold is supposed to help pay for her retirement. I'm like, yes, but you have siblings. So unless the estate plan says everything goes to you, you're not going to get quite as much as you think you're going to get. But then my wife's mother sent her a box of stuff. And this box of stuff had a couple of quilts in it that grandma had, and then had some like costume jewelry that grandma had, and then like a plate that was shaped like a leaf. And a lot of them were like, yeah, we don't need this stuff. We're glad we remember grandma, but you know, it's, you know, and my wife's mother. So the daughter was like, hey, you know, I can't just go throw this away. It was mom and dad's stuff. But it came to us and we're like, yeah, we'll keep the stuff that has sentimental value and that reminds my wife of grandma. But the rest of it, we don't, you know, we all have a lot of stuff and we don't need to fight over stuff. We can just, you know, you want to plan for stuff, but you don't want to have people fighting over it. You don't want to right. sacrifice your family relationships, fighting over what is, at the end of the day, just stuff.
Yeah, great point. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, it just seems to me, Michael, that you're paving the road for after you leave. You're making it easy because all your loved ones are going to have to walk a tough road and deal with what to do with all your stuff, what to do with everything that's left behind. And you're paving it out and you're saying, okay, just mourn for me, remember the good times and move forward. I'm going to make the road easy for you.
Well said. That's exactly right.
Well, and that's exactly it is, you know, there, it's going to be a tough time. You're mourning for your loved one. You know, grandma's gone, you know, in the time of COVID, the aunt who thinks she's in charge of everything decided that they couldn't have a funeral, so it was just her and, you know, her two siblings, and that's it. You know, like, none of the grandkids were invited, so it's like, nope, that's, you know, we're just going to do it this way. So now my wife is like, but I would have liked to be able to say goodbye to grandma.
Right.
Well, you know, so that, I mean, that's what's most important to most people is, oh, we lost them. We lost this person. And, you know, but you don't want to have to be like, you know, so you're like, oh no, I lost grandma. It's so sad. And then be like, oh, and also now we have to fight over grandma's stuff. Oh, grandma, why couldn't you get this figured out? Why couldn't you have done this? That you don't want that to be your lasting legacy of, oh, grandma didn't do anything, or mom or dad didn't do anything.
Right.
You want it to be, I love grandpa and grandma. I love mom and dad. You know, I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that I got to be part of their life. It's very sad that they're gone. And, oh yeah, whatever's left over, we'll split up this money. You know, and I've told my parents that all the time. I'm like, I'd rather have you than your money. If there's money left over at the end, I'm not going to turn it down, but I'm, yeah, I, the most important thing is your, is the memories that you take. And you're right. And if you lay out that plan, all the people have to do is follow it instead of guessing and trying to figure it out and getting mad at each other and mad at you. And, you know, when you lose a loved one, you're definitely not at your best.
You know, Michael,
know that for sure.
Yeah. And one other thing really quick about you, because I've met you. Not only is your expertise on the legal end and the division of assets and all this kind of stuff really valuable at that time, but your experience in calming things down and being a calming presence during the talking over and figuring out what goes where, I have a feeling that's very helpful with some families.
Yep.
Sometimes I can be the one that everybody can get mad at. You know, if they want to yell and scream at me, I don't get my feelings hurt. I'm like, oh, you're yelling and screaming at me? Great. You're not yelling and screaming at each other. Cool.
That's good.
Other times I can be like, okay, you're yelling at you. You're yelling at you. What are you really mad at? You're really mad that she lost mom and dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, an example from my life, about 2 years ago, I lost my puppy dog. And my wife and I had the worst fight we've ever had. And we're like, we're just missing our puppy dog.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with my wife and I fighting. It had to do with we're both sad about our dog and we're yelling at each other because we can't do anything about having lost our puppy dog.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can't do anything about having lost mom or dad, you don't need to take that out on your siblings. Then you lose the rest of your family. And that's like the worst case scenario ever, fighting over stuff.
Well said, Michael. I'll leave you with that. I appreciate it as always. How do folks get a hold of you?
Phone number is 720-394-6887. Again, 720-394-6887. You can find me on my website at michaelbaileylawllc.com.
Perfect. Michael, appreciate it very much. And Michael is next.
KLZ's mobile estate planner doesn't overcharge. Michael Bailey of Michael Bailey Law believes everyone should have an estate plan, so he doesn't want the cost to become a barrier. In many cases, like a basic will or trust, Michael Bailey charges a flat one-time fee so you don't get surprised with enormous hourly expenses after the fact. It's worth the value for a thorough, accurate estate plan that protects your loved ones well. KLZradio.com/estate, the reasonably priced attorney.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us, and great first hour to the week already, folks. And again, our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to all those that are affected by the fires. Most of all, though, just stay safe. Make sure you've got things prepped and ready to go. This is just one of those reminders that, you know, things can happen. And, you know, we live in Colorado. We can still have tornadoes, fires, floods, even bad snowstorms, blizzards, avalanches, things like that. There's lots of things in Colorado that can happen. And, yeah, it's a great place to live. But you know what? It's still the outdoors, and things can still happen.
Yeah, it's actually a fairly dangerous place to live because of the terrain. And
we have a lot going on here. We really do. So just be aware of that. Be prepared. But we got two more hours coming your way. If it's close to 7 o'clock, have a fabulous evening. We do appreciate you listening. Myself and Andy, we'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.